Welcome.
My name is George Mann, and I'm the writer of New Breed Hobbs, Witchwood, and Star Wars The High Republic.
This is Kevin Shinnick, writer of Star Wars Force Collector.
I'm Kevin Scott, one of the story architects of Star Wars The High Republic.
This is Dominic Pace, who plays Gekko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian.
Hi, I'm Claudia Gray. I write Star Wars books.
And you're listening.
And you are listening.
And you are listening.
To Star Wars Comics and Canon, the Force is strong with this one.
Hello there and welcome to Star Wars Comics in Canon, your guide to the wider Star Wars canon through the comic book lens. And to take you on this journey, I'm your host, Mike Burton. And so brings episode 132. So my friends, this week I am tackling the High Republic Adventures Comics Volume 1. This is from 2022, this is from Phase 2 of the High Republic, and they are published by Dark Horse. So if you haven't joined before, hello there. I'm going to go through each of these comics in chronological order. I'm going to give you plot details along the way, and then while I'm doing that, I'm also going to give additional information on certain characters, species, planets, and other interesting bits of trivia along the way. So this serves as a great way to find out what's going on in the canon world via the comics without having to pick up every single comic along the way, and you get a general idea of what's going on, especially as these are High Republic comics, as what's going on in the High Republic at certain points. But if you do choose to pick up these comics, which I always recommend, please support the creators where you can. If you do pick up these comics and read them, there's still enough little bits and pieces that I've missed out, so you get a real fun experience reading the comics, because all I want to do with this podcast is make more and more people read comics. But I understand not everyone is as obsessive as I am, and not everyone needs to read every single canon comic that comes out. But with that in mind, let's delve in. So, these comics were all written by Daniel Jose Older, the artist for all of them is Tony Bruno, and the colour artist for all of them is Michael Atiyye. Issue number 1 was released November 30th, 2022, issue 4 was released May 3rd, 2023, and the trade paperback collection of these four is due to be released in a trade paperback in September 5th, 2023. So for Phase 2 of the High Republic, there's going to be 8 High Republic Adventures comics. In Phase 1, there were 11, I think, or 12. And then in Phase 3, I imagine there's going to be 12 again, much like Phase 1. But Phase 2 has been shorter than Phase 1, hence why there are less comics. Now, a little reminder about the High Republic era. Phase 1 of the High Republic is set around 200 years before the Phantom Menace, so that's 232 years before the Battle of Yavin. And then Phase 2 is set 150 years before that, so Phase 2 is around 350 years before the Phantom Menace, which is approximately 382 years before the Battle of Yavin, which are the events of A New Hope. Now, although the High Republic Adventures comics do stand alone very strongly, I would recommend checking out some of the other Phase 2 content that I've released. So a great way to start off Phase 2 is the Path of Deceit book. I obviously recommend reading that. But if you want to hear my review of it, as well as the plot overview on it towards the end, I released that the 7th of January, and then the subsequent book reviews I've released have been Quest for the Hidden City on February 14th, Convergence on March 18th, The Battle of Jeddah audiobook on April 22nd, and Cataclysm on the 17th of June. And then I also tackled the first volume of Phase 2 Wave 1's Marvel Comics, May 13th, 2022. So that's when you can check out all the other episodes I've done from this time period. I would recommend checking out the YouTube playlists. Now, these comics center around Sav Maligan, and she made her first appearance in the Phase 1 comics, The High Republic Adventures. I believe it was actually Volume 2 that she makes her debut, and I tackle that in Episode 90 of Star Wars Comics in Canon, but I'll delve a little bit more into her character shortly. So I think that has just about tackled all the little pieces of the High Republic Adventures comics that I am tackling and the related content that you can delve into. So let's get right into these comics, and let's start with The Crawl. It is a time of great exploration. In an effort to unite the galaxy, the Chancellors of the Republic, working alongside the courageous and wise Jedi Knights, have dispatched dozens of Pathfinder teams into the farthest reaches of the Outer Rim. But it is also a time of great uncertainty. Communication is unreliable, and tall tales of mysterious planets and monstrous creatures abound. Prospectors and pirates roam the frontier, and the worlds of Aram and Erino are locked in a forever war. And on the far-off planet of Dalna, a new threat to the galaxy is beginning to emerge. So as you can tell by that crawl, this is all set in the first wave of Phase 2 of the High Republic, so this is set alongside Path of Deceit, Quest for the Hidden City, and Convergence. And then, very minor spoilers, but this will be confirmed when we get to the end of this episode, but issue 4 ends around the time that the Battle of Jeddah is taking place. So the Battle of Jeddah is kind of the middle part of Phase 2. Everything before the Battle of Jeddah is Wave 1, and everything after the Battle of Jeddah is Wave 2. But these High Republic Adventures comics have had some delays with them being released and things, which is one of the reasons why I haven't done this episode sooner, because I only actually got the fourth issue only a couple of weeks ago. So if I'd have had to wait for this to be released alongside all the other books, everything would have kind of been delayed somewhat and you wouldn't have got all the book reviews you've got so far. But with that all in mind, let's delve right in. Here is issue 1. So it starts off with Sav Maligan. She is 15 years old at this point, and she is sick of the Jedi Order. She's been noted as one of the strongest Force users that Jedi Temple has ever seen, which is based on Takodana. At nighttime, she often sneaks out, and in this issue, we get to see her sneaks out after curfew, and then goes to see Maz Kanata's castle. So a few things to note here. So Sav Maligan, her full name is Savina Bessatrix Maligan. She is a Kyozo species. We saw Kyozo, they were first introduced in the Clone War, Season 2, Episode 17. The episode was called Bounty Hunters because it featured a character called Embo. You'd know Embo because, well, A, he's the same species as Sav Maligan, but he has a very big hat, and it is meant to relate to some of the elements of Eastern cultures and things, and the name Kyozo is actually given from a name of a character from Seven Samurai, which is a film that George Lucas has famously enjoyed. He obviously based a lot of elements of Star Wars that he enjoyed on a lot of Eastern cinema, and Seven Samurai is often quoted as one of those major influences. So Kyozo are from a gravity-heavy world, and their species live for hundreds of years, hence why Sav Maligan is alive in both Phase 1 and Phase 2 of the High Republic, even though they're 150 years apart. Now, Embo has been in the Clone Wars quite a lot, and he has showed up in content since, including the Aftermath books as well. But I believe I gave quite a bit of information on the Kyozo species when Sav Maligan was first introduced in Phase 1 of the High Republic. So as a reminder, go back and listen to episode 90 of Star Wars Comics and Canon to hear a little bit more about her and the Kyozo. So the next agenda is Takodana. So Takodana was first seen in The Force Awakens, and that is where Maz's castle is. It's essentially like a forest world, and obviously before the sequel trilogy, it didn't exist in any capacity, and the main draw of it was Maz's castle was on there. In Phase 1, we get to see the Jedi Temple is still standing there, as is Maz's castle, and that leads us onto Maz Kanata, because she's not currently in the castle as Sav first enters it, but she does make an appearance pretty sharpish, so I thought I would just get a lot of the bio information out that way. So Maz Kanata, she is an unknown species, not dissimilar to Yoda's species. She was born 973 years before the Battle of Yavin. So when we last saw her in the sequel trilogy in The Rise of Skywalker, she's approximately 1,007 years old. So she is hundreds of years older than Jabba, she outlives Yoda easily, and she's basically the oldest species that we are aware of in Star Wars, apart from maybe some of the more spurious species, such as the Bendu, who appears in Star Wars Rebels Season 3, I believe he appears. But the Bendu is an unknown creature, it's almost like a force being, so I wouldn't be surprised if the Bendu has been around forever. So aside from characters like that, Maz Kanata, to my knowledge, is the oldest living creature. There are droids who outlive her. Professor Hu Yang is one of those. He is in the Clone Wars, and then a very minor spoiler for an upcoming live-action show, he is going to be appearing in Ahsoka. And he's been around since, I think, the dawn of the Jedi Order, essentially. I wouldn't be surprised if he pops up in that film coming out, which is set like 25,000 years before The Phantom Menace, sort of where the Jedi Order was founded and things. I wouldn't be surprised if he was around there. In the Star Wars Timelines book, one of my favourite little tidbits I found was Professor Hu Yang was apparently powered up 5 years after the birth of the Jedi. Their specific timeline was 25,025 years before the Battle of Yavin, and then Professor Hu Yang was 25,020 years before the Battle of Yavin. But yeah, that was a tangent about Hu Yang. He doesn't appear in any of the High Republic stuff, to my knowledge, even though he probably should, but I haven't seen him yet. But that was all just to give you guys some degree of context on Maz Kanata. She's also known as the Pirate Queen. She is Force-sensitive, but to our knowledge, she can't, strictly speaking, use the Force. There was mention that there was a deleted scene that I don't think is in any of the Blu-ray or DVD extras or anything, where Maz does use the Force to kind of stop something falling on Han and Chewie, I think in the castle when everything is collapsing around them. But I don't think that counts as being canon, so I don't know if she can actually use the Force properly, but she is at very least Force-sensitive, and she understands the Force and things like that. Now, she's been in quite a bit of content since then. She's been in High Republic Adventures content, both with Sav Maligan, because obviously it takes place in Takodana. So again, episode 90 of Star Wars Comics and Canon. She's also known Han and Chewie for a long time. She is actually in the Han Solo and Chewbacca comics. I tackled an episode 125 of Comics and Canon. That's in volume 2. And then there is also like this vague retcon of her appearing in the prequels. So in Anakin's room, he has this little statue, like a wooden carved statue of a being that kind of resembles Maz Kanata. I think in the visual dictionary somewhere, the statue is shown sort of more recently when it's been recanonized. And I think in there it's meant to like allude to being Maz Kanata. I think there was rumblings there was one similar in Palpatine's office as well, or that statue made its way to Palpatine's office, something like that. So there are some people who believe it is the statue of Maz Kanata. I'm not overly sure if it's been explicitly confirmed by the canon Star Wars. I'm not overly sure, but you know, but she's like 1,000 years old. So it wouldn't be surprising if she had somehow met Anakin. I find that to be quite unlikely. Maybe there's a cool story there. I personally would love a Maz Kanata biography, but I assume we're not really going to get that at all, maybe. But we're not going to get that until after Lucasfilm has delved further into the past. But that's all the information you need to know at the moment about Tak O'Dana, Sav Maligan, and also Maz Kanata. So let's continue on with the story. So Sav does often go into Maz's castle and things, and when she's in there, there's loads of people, loads of species. I could probably do an entire podcast just going through each and every one of those. I almost imagine it like it is in The Force Awakens. There's just loads of people, and I just don't have time, and it's not necessarily relevant to go through every single person there. But there is one person there who is telling some stories to people, and he is a character I did not expect to find in the High Republic, and that is Dexter Jetster. Dexter Jetster, you will know him from Attack of the Clones. He is the Besalisk, so the four-armed reptilian individual who greets Obi-Wan Kenobi at his diner. It's called Dexter's Diner. So he greets him at his diner. He's like, oh, Obi-Wan! And he's the one who looks at the dart that Jango Fett shot at Zam Wessel and killed her when Anakin and Obi-Wan are pursuing her. And he notes that it's a Kaminoan poison dart. There's little etches on there that droids wouldn't find out. And then that starts Obi-Wan on his investigative journey into Kamino and the clone army and all that sort of stuff. So it's really down to Dexter as to how the clones were even found. So he's a really interesting character. If you want to find out how he actually met Obi-Wan, it is noted in the Padawan novel by Kirsten White. I believe I have released a review of that, so you can search for that in the podcast app. But in essence, Dexter Jetster, he's at least 360 years old. He's probably 400 years old by the time of Attack of the Clones, and he is from the planet Ojom, which is where Besalisks are generally from, but his birth year is at least 360 years before the Battle of Yavin, but seeing him in this, he seems to not be really, really young, so I would, at an assumption, guess he's been alive for a few decades, hence why I think he's approximately 400 years in Attack of the Clones, but again, he could be even older than that, not overly sure, but I notice in the High Republic, it's really showing us a lot of species that live for a long period of time. So back into the story. So Sav goes in and sees Dexter telling all these stories, and she dreams of Dexter telling stories about her. Now, I've not read issue 8, but I assume this entire batch of comics is going to end with Dexter in Maz's castle telling stories about Sav. I can only assume that's how these 8 issues are going to end. But again, I don't even have anything past issue 4 at the moment. I think I'm getting a delivery of issue 5 and 6 in the next couple weeks, and then after that I'll get 7 and 8. But yeah, I've not even read past the issues I'm tackling for you for the High Republic Adventures right now, so ride for me as much as it is for you. So there ends up being a little altercation in Maz's castle. A gentleman named Alec gets in the face of another gentleman named Inspector Raff. They get in each other's faces a bit, but then they leave each other alone, start walking away, and then Sav decides to use the Force to throw a cup at the Inspector Raff. They then have a fight, but then Maz comes down and stops them because there is no fighting in her castle. She tells all of them off, Inspector Raff leaves, and then it shows that Maz Kanata and Dexter Jetster, who she calls Dexy, are very close. They hug and chat a little bit, and then Dexter says he needs to leave. Sav then decides to follow Dex just to see what he's up to. She eventually catches up to him, and then he's made jump by her appearance, but he lets her tag along and says that he is following the pirate hunter Raff, which is the inspector who just left Maz's castle. They find Raff, and then he says that they need to be quiet because he's investigating this group called the Dank Gracts, and they want to get rid of the Jedi and Maz from Tak O'Dana. So the three of them hiding in the bushes do get spotted, and some droids then attack. The speeder that they came in on then gets destroyed, and Sav decides to help out by pulling out her staff. She splits it in two, and it is shown her two purple lightsabers. She helps take out the droids and deflecting blaster bolts and things like that, and it makes her feel alive with her life being on the edge. Then, once all the droids are gone, there's like a calm moment, but all of the Dank Gracts have gone, and so she speaks with Raff and Dex. So Raff thanks both of them for assisting, but warns them that he'll catch them if they do anything illegal. They kind of shrug it off and wander away. Then Dex and Sav head back, and Dex agrees not to mention the fact that Sav is a Jedi Padawan or her lightsabers or anything like that to Maz or anyone else. Maz then explains that the Dank Gracts are rejects from backwater force factions, and their leader, Arkik, has been going after Maz since she got Tak O'Dana, because apparently there was some sort of thing where someone could like own Tak O'Dana or have the castle on Tak O'Dana or something, and she beat him, basically. Maz then notes to Sav that Dex told her that Sav can really hold herself in a battle, so Maz asks Sav if she wants to join her crew and Sav eagerly agrees. And that is the end of issue 1. And I will apologise because I'm going to mix between saying Maz and Mars, much like I often do with Han slash Han Solo, so apologies for that. But moving on, we get into issue number 2. So issue 2 starts off with Sav being on Mars' ship along with her crew, and there is a hulking species who is singing ballads about himself. His name is Coromant Vizzel. He's like a fish humanoid kind of species. It's kind of hard to explain. I tried looking online. I couldn't find confirmation of what species he is. Now, the crew are watching the Dank Grax ship. There doesn't seem to be any movement or anything, so they decide to look further into the ship to find out what they're doing. Meanwhile, the Dank Grax are actually in ships, ready to pounce on Mars' ship once Mars and crew have taken the bait of looking at their ship. Now, the four members of this Dank Grax, you've got Arkik, who is a Geonosian, so Geonosians are obviously from Attack of the Clones. You've got Orn, who is immune. You did see immune in Attack of the Clones, but he was in that meeting thing with Dooku when Dooku's talking to the Separatists, and then he says, "The Banking Clan will sign your treaty." That's immune because all the members of the Banking Clan are immunes. You saw them in the Clone Wars quite a bit, and any Legends fans will know that Darth Plagueis, Palpatine's master, he was immune. Then you've got Saya Keem. She is a Zabrak. So Zabraks, they're near humans, but they normally have horns coming out of their heads and sometimes have facial markings or, in certain cultures, facial tattoos. The most famous Zabrak would be Darth Maul. He's a Dathomirian Zabrak, also nicknamed a Night Brother. So you get to see all about him in the Clone Wars and stuff, but obviously everyone will know him from Phantom Menace. But there are Zabraks all over the galaxy. And then the last member of their team is Lavalox Verzin. So Lavalox is a Kozian. So a Kozian species you will have known from Tyrus Inube, who I mentioned slightly earlier. Tyrus Inube was made known in the Clone Wars episode Lightsaber Lost. I believe he shows up in the background of the prequel movies a little bit as well. His species are not necessarily common, but they're not uncommon. I think they're in some of the movies, and as I said, they're in the Clone Wars and things. But Tyrus Inube, tragically, you can see his corpse in the Kenobi live-action series when Obi-Wan goes on to the Fortress Inquisitorius, and he walks through a variety of places. One of the rooms he walks in has got loads of Jedi in, like, amber or, like, held up in water, and they're obviously dead. One of those is a Kozian. That is Tyrus Inube. But yeah, so those four are in their own individual starfighters, and they board Mars' ship. Mars' crew, however, are on their ship, and they split up to find out what the Dank's plan is. Vizzel tells Sav that Raff and Alec actually fell in love. So Alec is the gentleman who was getting aggressive with Raff in the previous issue. He is a human. He is missing sort of below the hips, but he's got this mechanical thing that he uses to walk with. He's fully tattooed and stuff, whereas Raff is just looks like a standard kind of human, but again, he's an inspector. But the reason that Big Vizzle tells Sav about this is because there's some very clear tension between Inspector Raff and Alec, hence that whole falling out in Mars' castle. Then their ship gets hit, and it shows that Mars' own ship is firing upon the Dank Grax ship. Now, just to clarify, Mars' ship is called the Venomed Scabbard, and the Dank's ship is called the Grim Devourer. So the Dank's ship, the Grim Devourer, is made from ancient Tund technology. Now, Tund, assumedly, is relating to the Sorcerers of Tund. Now, that was all tackled in the first volume of Marvel's High Republic comics, which again I tackled back in episode 126 of Star Wars Comics in Canon, and I think I give a bit more information about them in there as well, but yeah, check that episode out. But the Sorcerers of Tund, they are force sensitive. So Mars is having trouble figuring out this ancient ship, trying to work out how she can use it to combat her own ship that's firing upon her, and they find that there is a droid on the ship that Alax like rips apart, and this droid says that they need to use the force, and then laughs, thinking that no one can use the force. Obviously, Mars is force sensitive, so she will try and use the ship in that regard, while Sav is told to go and use the guns. So then a firefight occurs, but because the Danks are in Mars' ship, they are winning quite substantially, so Mars decides that they're going to ram both ships together. So she activates the front deflector shields to maximum power, is about to, and then both ships get hit by a starfighter, and it is shown that it is Inspector Raff. His full name is Raff Thatchburn, and he shoots both of the ships. So both of the ships are like, yeah, I don't want to be involved in this, and they both bail, they shoot into hyperspace, and then Raff is just kind of left alone in a starfighter. Maz decides they'll take the ship to one of Arkik's old haunts, as she calls it. She knows of a place they'll probably go, so she tells the crew to rest while they go there. But she also asks Alec to try and take that droid apart even further to try and see if there's any more information they can find out on what on earth the Dank Grax are up to. It shows that on Mars' ship, so the Venom Scabbard, which is now taken over by the Dank Grax, the pilot of Mars' ship, which is a person called Abadu, they are a Hoover species, they are hiding on the ship. Now, Hoover don't really seem to be anywhere else. Can't really describe what they look like. It almost looks like the body of a baby horse, but with the skin of an elephant, but the size of a baby horse, but the head of an anteater. It looks quite weird. It's kind of cute in an ugly way, but it is sentient. It speaks. It doesn't speak basic, but Mars can understand it. But Abadoo is hiding in like the air ducts and things of Mars's ship. Then issue number 2 ends with Mars telling Sav that she knows who Sav is, knows that she's a Padawan, knows that she's Sav Maligan and things. And she says that although this was meant to be a quick detour just to see what was going on, it's going to take a lot longer than they thought it was. So Mars will help Sav figure something out to tell Sav's master, who's called Kaktorf, about a reason as to why she was out of curfew and all those sorts of things. So issue 3 starts off with Sav lying to her master via holo communication, and she is really, really bad at it. Fortunately, Mars starts to like tap the holo communicator thing with her foot, so it goes all a bit staticky and stuff, and then they cut it off before it gets too bad. She asks before the master commands Sav to come back to the temple. Meanwhile, with the Dank Grax, you've got Arkik and Saya. They are sensing the presence of someone on board. It's likely Abadoo, the pilot, and Arkik says that he is counting on them reporting back to Mars as a sort of trap. So back to Mars. Mars, Sav, and the crew prepare to watch Alak talk with Raph via the comm. Maz basically gives Alak's backstory to Sav. Alak's family were the ruling members of the Scarlet Skulls. Now, the Scarlet Skulls are also known as the Scarlet Skull Cult. They were an assassin squad active in the Corellian sector, but most of the members had died by 382 years before the Battle of Yavin, so around the time of these comics taking place. We did see them mentioned in Midnight Horizon, which is the young adult novel by Daniel Jose Older, in Phase 1, Wave 3 of the High Republic. I think it's actually the last piece of content we've got currently in Phase 1, apart from maybe the Eye of the Storm comics, like chronologically where the ending point is. But in Midnight Horizon, Wreath Silas and Ram Jomaram both pretend to be members at this diner sort of thing. The members generally have children that have skull tattoos, and then at a certain age they have their tongues cut out. So the way this relates to Alak is that just before Alak had his initiation, where he was going to have his tongue cut out, he then saw this very cute baby. It completely changed his kind of perception. Maz describes it as, for someone who'd like hardened themselves so much, still had such a soft, kind heart. So he ran away, vowing that he would come back and save her. He ran and trained and got experience for about 8 years. Then he came back before her initiation and then saved her. And that is one of the reasons why none of the members of the Scarlet Skulls / the Scarlet Skull Cult are around anymore. So he seemingly killed them all. And then Sav says, well, who is the baby? And the baby is actually a fellow crew member that's been there the whole time, Quiet Shan. Quiet Shan, she's just a human female with a cybernetic eye. But obviously she's called Quiet Shan, hence why she's had no dialogue. So anyway, the crew are going to watch Alak communicate with Inspector Raph, because in Shore, obviously the relationship kind of background between Alak and Raph, it's emotions are difficult, and Maz and co are worried that Alak may give away some secrets in the heat of the moment, so they're there to make sure that no secrets are spilled, but also be there for support, which Sav says is very cute. So we never actually get to know what that conversation was going to be about, because there is a message received from Pilot Abadoo. So the crew get on the move and go to get the ship back. So then the Dank Grax, they are threatening a Lasat called Frander for a specific ship. Now he makes ships for Force Sensitives, but now they're obsolete, partially to prevent Force Sensitives from having too much power. The leader, Arkik, is not happy about that, so he decides he's going to force Frander. And it is also noted that the Graffs agreed to organising this deal, hence why Arkik is immediately so annoyed by this. Now you should know the species Lasat if you've been watching Star Wars Rebels, which I hugely encourage everyone to do because I think it's one of the best pieces of Star Wars content that exists. So the character Zeb, he is a Lasat, who you would have also seen him in The Mandalorian Series 3. He does make a cameo, he's got a very small speaking role. They are very tall, purple, hairy, kind of flat-nosed, almost wolf-slash-bat-faced humanoids. They are often confused for Wookiees, and that comes from a joke where in one of the original pictures of Ralph McQuarrie's concept art, which if you want to see that, just Google it, or you can watch the, I think, first episode of Star Wars Rebels Reviewed, which is on my YouTube channel or wherever you're listening to this. In that concept art, the original concept art for a Wookiee was actually changed to make it more like the Wookiees we know of, like Chewbacca. But they actually resemble Lasats a lot more. So the joke was Lasats were made to kind of be a nod to that concept art. So yeah, the Danks are being mean to this gentleman. So back to Mars. So their ship is being piloted by Sav, and Sav is actually doing a really good job. And Mars decides that she's going to stay with the ship while the others try and go out to the Dank Grax and get her ship back. So the Danks then start to choke Fran's Bombrax, and then he lifts Saikin with the Force. It's all starting to get a little bit tense, and then Sav enters, pretending that she works for the Graffs. The Dank Grax then bail, and Franders thanks Sav. Now I mentioned Bombrax. Now Bombrax, again, it's another Daniel Jose Older connection. In the book Race to Crashpoint Tower, which is my favourite of all 5 junior novels in the High Republic thus far, focusing on one of my favourite Jedi, Ram Jomaram. They're kind of like small sentient bat things. They're like really, really small, almost like a size of a rat in a way, but with like opposable thumbs and kind of humanoid but tiny. I don't think they can speak Galactic Basic, but they are sentient and they often like to work on things like little mechanics. So while this altercation is all going on, Orn, the Mune, a member of the Dank Grax, catches Mars on the Dank's ship. Then after we see the Dank Grax get away, the Dank ship then starts to fly away, shoots at the depot, and then disappears. Whereas Mars's crew remaining at the depot manage to get back to Mars's ship, so they're on the Venom Scabbard again, the Dank Grax are on their ship, the Grim Devourer, once again. And after they get to Mars's ship, they realize that Mars isn't there. And then also Sav isn't there either. So they kind of look around, and Sav says that she's taken her own ship and she's going to join the Dank Grax to find out what happened to Mars. And that is where issue number 3 ends. So we move on to the final issue of this batch, issue number 4. So Sav is pursuing the Granks in her ship and is kind of shooting at them a little bit and then threatens them with her ship. They are a little bit hesitant to let her join, but they realise they don't really have much choice. So she introduces herself as Basrip Rathd. Then on board, Arkik says that Sav needs to pass 3 trials to be a member of the Dank Grax. Saya is muttering under her breath that the trials aren't real and he's never asked anyone to do this before, but he ignores her and continues on. So the first trial, he asks which Force faction that Sav left and why. She notes that she was a part of the Central Isotoper and that she left because they couldn't really take a joke. Arkik is unsure by that, but the others seem sold on this idea. Now the Central Isotoper, so you would know them from episode 61 of Star Wars Comics in Canon. I have spoken about them I think twice in Star Wars Comics in Canon, but they are in the 2015 run of Star Wars Comics. They appear in the 7th volume, which is covering issues 40 to 47, and also the 9th volume covering issues 62 to 67. It's primarily in the 4th volume, 40 to 70. It's the arc The Ashes of Jedha, which is in my opinion the best arc in the 2015 Star Wars comics, apart from maybe the Vader Down crossover, but I absolutely love that Jedha arc. And he speaks with people who are members of the cult of the Central Isotoper. You actually get to see them as extras in Rogue One, and then they get named in visual dictionaries, but essentially they worship sort of the darkness of the Force. So they go to places that mass violence or death has occurred, and then they meditate there. They find that meditating through these horrors in the Force really helps them get closer to the Force in a sense. And then in the Star Wars comics that I just referenced, they actually go to Jedha after the Holy City was destroyed by the Death Star, and they meditate all around it and stuff. It's a really, really interesting issue. I really, really enjoy it. So please go check that out if you fancy it. But yeah, back to the trials. So Arkik then asks Sav to use the Force. So she picks up Saya, Orn, and Lavalox with the Force, and obviously passes with flying colours. Then Arkik has one final test, which is combat. He sends out several of the droids that she fought in the first issue. He sends out several of these droids to fight her, and she pulls out her lightsabers and immediately just destroys all of them very easily without taking a single hit. He then questions where she got the lightsaber, and she said that she killed Terra Sinube. Lavalox mentions that he knows that fellow Kuzian, but none of them know that he's still alive, so they just continue on. So Sav has passed the tests. Arkik is still thinking that Sav is lying about that, but he lets her join on a provisional basis. So the Grax are heading to Jedha to help start a war with other Force cults. Saya mentions that to Sav and then lightly talks about another cult, but doesn't really give too many details, but I'm strongly of the opinion it's going to be the Path of the Open Hand. And then Sav says she needs to use the toilet, so she pops off to the toilet, comms to the crew to tell them where they're going and what's happening, and then comes back to Saya. Saya doesn't seem to suspect anything, but Saya is really, really excited by Sav joining, because Sav is someone who's her age and would really understand her a little bit more, and she says that she's in a family now, but it would still be really nice to have someone her age. Now for this comic, because of Sav's alter ego, Basrip Rathd, Arkik seemed to think that Sav was a boy, and therefore she just goes along with it. Whereas Saya says that she knows that Sav is lying, and Sav gets really worried about it, and then she's like, "You're not a boy," and Sav's like, "Oh, phew, no, I'm not." And Saya's like, "That's okay, because I hate boys." And then Sav is like, "Okay." Then they seemingly kind of bond a little bit, but then it's shown that Saya and the rest of the crew like to use the Force to mess with each other. They keep like moving stools out of the way when people are going to sit down, and Sav is like, "Isn't it a bit weird being on your guard all the time?" And Saya says that she used to be in a rich Coruscant family, and she had to have her guard up all the time in that, and she describes it as a carefully manicured hellhole. So anything since that makes her feel like she's no longer on her guard. So then this comic starts to wrap up. You've got Saya who gives Sav a sleeping pouch, then they lay in a room together that Saya calls home, and they're looking out of the viewport and they're seeing space go by them, and it's a really, really nice, very cute scene. Meanwhile on Mars's ship, it shows that they are following the instructions that Sav sent to them, and they're heading for Jedha. They get to Jedha, and Alec wants to call Raff for backup. The crew are unsure about this, but then they kind of get more into the atmosphere and then see the fighting that's going on Jeddah. There's ships all flying around and shooting each other, and clearly the war on Jeddah has already begun. And that is where issue number 4 ends. So as I said, this is all kind of a lead up to the Battle of Jeddah. Then I assume like an issue or two is kind of going to be around the Battle of Jeddah, and then the last two is probably going to be set after the Battle of Jeddah. But that's all an assumption, as I said, because I've not actually read past this point. And that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening, as always, my friends. So what have we got going on in the future, and what is going on with myself? Well, I was recently on Star Wars Timeline once again. It's the YouTube channel, a link is in the description, where myself and Ben spoke about Ahsoka. It's nearly 2 hours long of a conversation, and we talk about Ahsoka from Clone Wars to Rebels to a live action appearance, to what we kind of want from her as a character, some of the prosthetics they used in the live action, all kinds of things like that. We discuss everything about Ahsoka. So it really works in this kind of thing, which I'm doing hashtag Road to Ahsoka, which I'm doing in some of my Star Wars posts, which are things that are relevant to Ahsoka. I've been recording Thrawn audiobook reviews on my Patreon, which are going to be part of the Road to Ahsoka. I may end up releasing them nearer the time on the main feed, but if you want to catch those, please support me on Patreon or give a one-off donation on Ko-fi, mention you want the Road to Ahsoka stuff, and I will send you the Thrawn reviews. But yes, I was on Star Wars Timeline, absolutely delightful, always talking with Ben, so make sure you check that out. In addition to that, Rebels Reviewed Episode 2 has come out now as well, so that's where myself, Math, and Dave go through each season of Star Wars Rebels as part of the Road to Ahsoka, and we want to kind of watch it all before the Ahsoka series starts. Math has never seen it before, whereas Dave has watched it once before and I've seen it twice before, so it's really, really exciting getting to revisit Rebels because it is absolutely fantastic. I believe we're actually going to be recording the episode next week, so I think I'm going to drop the episode in about 2 weeks' time, and then we're going to get ready to record the final season in sort of early August, I believe. So, lots of fun there with Rebels. I always encourage people to check Star Wars Rebels out because, as I said, I think it's one of the best pieces of Star Wars content out there. I think it really goes tit for tat with the original trilogy. That's how much I enjoy it. That's how good it is. You get to the end of series 2 and you'll know what I'm talking about. But aside from little guest spots and things like that I'm doing, obviously always check out the show notes for guest spots and other information on stuff that's going on and my social media and those sorts of things. But what am I doing over the next few weeks? Well, obviously I did the High Republic Adventures this week, So next week is likely going to be my book review for Quest for Planet X. It's the next book, chronologically speaking, in Phase 2 of the High Republic, so it's just after Cataclysm, or it takes place around the same time as Cataclysm, and it's the second junior novel. It's written by Tessa Grattan. It's a really, really fun novel. I think I enjoyed it slightly more than Quest for the Hidden City, but it's generally got the same characters in it, so really excited to release that. And then the week after that, I'm kind of in a quandary here. If anyone wants to contact me on social media or anywhere, just let me know what you think and maybe I'll take listener votes in and stuff. But I'm kind of torn because I want to do, you know, the main run of Star Wars comics and the Darth Vader comics, as well as Aphra and Bounty Hunters, those arcs that are after Hidden Empire but before Dark Droids, which starts in about a month and a half. But also, I do really want to finish off the High Republic before High Republic Phase 3 comes out, partly for myself, so I can kind of complete it and have a little bit of a breather from High Republic to High Republic, but also so you lovely listeners, you can actually finish with High Republic Phase 2 before Phase 3 starts to come out. So I'm kind of torn because there's the Quest of the Jedi one-shot that I want to tackle in one of the episodes. There's the Nameless Terror miniseries by George Mann, published by Dark Horse. I want to tackle that. Then there's obviously the second volume of the High Republic comics by Marvel, which is Volume 2, which that is set before Path of Vengeance. So I'm going to have to release that before I do the Path of Vengeance review, and I'm about a third through Path of Vengeance at the moment. Plus, obviously, there's the second volume of these High Republic Adventures comics whenever they come out. Plus, also, then there's the Age of Balance President, which is the third Star Wars original manga from the High Republic series. And obviously, then there's the Path of Vengeance book review as well. Obviously, there are the short stories in Star Wars Insider as well, but I do not sort those out until a hardback collection comes out with those. They are the Tales of Enlightenment, so I'll be tackling those probably towards the end of the year when they eventually get announced, hopefully for a hardback or something like that. And then also, there's the Free Comic Book Day High Republic Adventures comics. I've read both of those, but they're basically kind of like deleted scenes, in a sense, from the High Republic Adventures comics from Phase 1. I say both of them because I didn't manage to get the one from 2 years ago, but I managed to get my hands on a copy, as well as the one from this year, so I may end up tackling them in one little go. I was kind of thinking about putting them in the Quest of the Jedi episode, but equally I kind of want them to be separate, so I don't know, I'll figure those out. But that's kind of what was looking at, like, if I include the Free Comic Book Day stuff, I'm basically done all the way till September, which is about a month after the Dark Droid starts to come out, so I'll assume I'll have received it and read it by then, so I could try and do all of that stuff. But equally, I do want to, you know, do the Star Wars and Darth Vader and those sorts of comic story arcs before I tackle Dark Droids, so I'm going to have to try and figure this out. I'm definitely going to do another High Republic thing next week, so I think it's going to be Quest for Planet X review, but after that, I'm not 100% sure where I'm going to go with it. We will have to see. But please let me know what you think about all that sort of stuff. And obviously, some of the ways you can really support the show is you can subscribe to my YouTube channel. That is youtube.com/genuinechitchat. Trying to get my subscribers up again. And so if you could do that, it would just be really, really handy. You can follow me on social media at genuinechitchat on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and also on TikTok now. I don't post that much on TikTok. There's a few Willow videos and some of the snippets I post on social media elsewhere. It's just quite a lot of effort, TikTok. So you can follow me on there. You'll get some stuff that isn't anywhere else, but also you won't get posting on there as frequently as you do for other social media sites. So just follow me everywhere. Obviously, you can also support the show in a variety of other ways. You can share it on social media. You can tell your friends about it. You can leave comments on YouTube. You can leave reviews on Good Pods, Audible, Apple Podcasts, all those amazing places. And also you can support me on Patreon or Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/genuinechitchat. You go on either Patreon or Ko-fi. If you give any amount of money, be it monthly or be it in a one-off payment, one-off donation, then you will get bonus content. I will send you afterthought stuff. If you mention that you're a Star Wars fan, when you do it, I can send you some of my Star Wars Legends book reviews and things. Or if you want to hear about the Road to Ahsoka stuff, then I can send you those as well. But I think that's going to be enough for me, my friends. Thank you so much for listening. As always, I appreciate each and every one of you listening right to the very end. And I will talk to you next week with the Quest for Planet X Phase 2 Wave 2 Junior Novel Book Review by Tessa Grattan. Thank you so much, friends. And of course, may the Force be with you. The intro for Star Wars Comics and Canon is arranged by myself, Mike Burton, and the backing music was made by Eric Matias of soundimage.org.
You have just experienced host, creator, everything else-er of Genuine Chit Chat, and also the host and creator of Star Wars Comics and Canon, found on the Comics in Motion podcast, Mike Burton.